Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic and guide to all things cinematic. He joins us weekly, the films Madeline Collins, Perpetrator, and Old Boy.
Well, as I often do, I would like to talk this week about three films which are quite different from each other. And the first one I would like to talk about is called Madeline Collins. That is the name of the movie. It was directed and co-written by Antoine Barreau, and it's a French-Swiss-Belgian production, so it's in French. And it's an interesting movie, actually, in a lot of ways. I think, in fact, it's one of the best movies I've seen this year, which is not saying a whole lot. I don't think this has been a distinguished year for movies, at least so far. But Madeline Collins is definitely one of the better ones. So Madeline Collins, interestingly, is not exactly the name of the main character. The name by the end of the movie does play a very important part, and it involves the main character. But through most of the film, she is known by two other names. She is known by Margot, and she is known by Judith. And Margot and Judith actually live in different places. It's the same woman, I emphasize, and there's never any question about that. But she has these different names. She has these different places where she lives. Margot lives in Geneva in Switzerland. And there she has a partner whose name is Abdel. And there is a little girl, a very little girl, who lives in their household named Nino. And Margot is a translator. That's what she does for a living. However, in Paris, the same woman is named Judith, and there she is married to Melville, who is a conductor, a musician, apparently a very important musician. And there she has two sons. One of them is a teenager, and he is kind of grumpy and surly a lot of the times, as teenagers sometimes are. And he is kind of wondering what's going on with his mother, because she seems to be going away an awful lot. So tensions arise about this. Pretty clearly, this woman, Margot in Geneva and Judith in Paris, is living a double life. But as the movie continues, details of that double life get more and more kind of ambiguous, at least for us, the viewers of the movie. It seems that some of the people in these two different worlds of hers know about the other world. Melville, for example, who is her husband in Paris, seems to know all about Abdel, who is her companion in Geneva. So it's not exactly a secret. On the other hand, Melville doesn't seem to know anything Abdel doesn't seem to know anything about Melville. And then after a while, the woman, the main character, her parents come into the situation, and they seem to have some idea of what's going on here, but not a complete idea. So it's all very odd and ambiguous, and we have to sort of figure things out as we go along. Then at the same time, we have various things, of course, that happened with somebody who was living a double life like this. She runs into somebody who knows her from the one life but doesn't know her from the other life, and says embarrassing things in front of other people that don't make sense to the other people because they don't know about any of this, etc., etc. So that is what the movie is about. And in a certain sort of a way, it is like some of Alfred Hitchcock's movies, because he sometimes deals with not mysteries of identity, but with questions relating to identity. But again, for a while, it seems like this movie is I'm not going to say a conventional story, but it's sort of a thriller maybe about a woman who is leading a double life. But then again, it turns out that people from these two different lives sort of overlap with each other to some extent. We also see her going to visit this sort of thug who provides her with false papers. And you have to wonder why, if she's living fully integrated lives in these two different countries, why she needs false papers. Wouldn't she have real papers? So it's all kind of ambiguous and odd in various ways. And again, we have to sort of figure it out. And then another thing that makes the movie seem like a thriller is the way it begins. And I have to say, the very beginning of the film is, to my mind, the very best part of the whole movie. And it opens up a mystery that hangs over everything throughout the entire film. And at the end is sort of revealed. resolved. And what happens at the very beginning of the film, and I won't tell too much here, and it's one of these long takes where the camera just keeps rolling for a very long period of time while people walk around and move around and talk and things happen. And directors like to do this nowadays to show off. It's pretty well done. But anyway, we have our main character, Margot Judith, who is in a clothing store, and she's shopping for an item of clothing, and then she's helped by a very nice salesperson, and she goes into the dressing room to try on this item that she thinks she might buy, and then all of a sudden she collapses, and then a couple of things develop after that, and then all of a sudden there's this horrible moment where something unspeakable apparently has happened, but we don't see what it is. And again, this is sort of resolved by the end, very end of the movie, but not entirely. So Madeline Collins is sort of a mystery film. It is sort of a thriller. It is sort of a philosophical meditation about the difficulties that especially women face in the modern world, juggling different tasks and different things they're expected to do. That all enters into the picture, relating to very different kinds of men. It's not 100% clear what Abdel does for a living. He apparently is involved in the world of art in some way. He's just gotten a new job, but he doesn't appear to be a real artist. On the other hand, Melville is a very important conductor, and we see him conducting a concert. So anyway, these things are sort of mysteries, and they sort of get cleared up by the end, but mainly this is a movie of atmosphere. And I just had a good time watching it and watching it sustain its atmosphere and build its atmosphere and sometimes shift its atmosphere. And the thriller elements and the mystery elements of it I found engaging. Above all, it is a very, very well-acted movie. Everybody who is in it does a really excellent job. I will mention most especially the woman who plays Judith and Margot, Virginie Efira, who has been around for quite a while, but she's really, really good. It's also fun to see Jacqueline Bisset in a small role in the movie and various other people. So it's an interesting, intriguing movie. I definitely recommend it if you're into French movies especially. I think one of the best movies from anywhere that has come to our screens so far this year. And now, the next movie is very different. It is yet another of the new horror movies that keep coming out. This one's called Perpetrator, which is, I suppose, an okay movie for a horror, title for a horror movie, although, again, sounds more a little bit more like maybe a crime movie to me. But it is very much a horror movie. It was written and directed by Jennifer Reeder. And here's what it's about. Our main character is a young woman. She's in her late teens. Her name is Jonquil, but she is always known as Johnny by her friends. And when at the very beginning of the movie, she's breaking into somebody else's house to steal a bunch of things. And then she meets up with this very bad guy who's going to sort of fence the goods that she has just stolen. And then she goes home where her father is very sick and doesn't have any money, and she's apparently supporting them with her thefts, apparently. And then a big change happens. She's somebody, not surprisingly, Johnny, somebody who always seems to be getting in trouble. After all, we first meet her conducting a robbery, or a burglary, I should say. So she is sent off to live with a new guardian, who is an aunt of hers. Her father, who is sick, is obviously not doing a very good job of riding herd on this young woman. So is sent off to live with her aunt, who is played by Alicia Silverstone. Not that long ago, she would have been playing the teenage girl, but no, now she plays the aunt. I should mention that Johnny is played by Kia McKiernan, a very, very good performance. And we now have this very odd sort of older woman looking after Johnny, and there Johnny starts to learn things about herself that she never really understood before. Namely, she is somehow involved with something called forevering. The movie is a little bit unclear about this, I must say. It's either something that she inherited, it's a hereditary thing, or it's something that she will acquire on her 18th birthday, or probably some combination of the two things. But it only applies to girls, and it will somehow keep her alive forever if she, and this is the old horror movie thing, fulfills certain rituals and does certain things. In the meanwhile, there's another whole great big mystery going on, which is the town that she lives in is having a lot of missing girls. Girls have gone missing. And this sort of gets involved with the whole story as well. So does that have something to do with forevering, or is the forevering thing some other storyline that's going on here, and it's just a coincidence that in this town there are missing girls, and are these things going to hook up or what? There's also various scenes that take place in the school where Johnny ends up going to school while she awaits her 18th birthday and whatever is going to come of that. And there's a very peculiar principal. So he becomes a pretty interesting interesting character in the movie as well. So, as I've already kind of indicated, perpetrator is not always entirely clear about just what the heck is going on here. Various things sort of happen during the movie, and some of them seem interesting and relevant. Others seem sort of extraneous, but you assume they're going to get sort of integrated into the main plot eventually, and they sort of do. One of the things that happens is that at the school where Johnny is now going, because of school shootings, they have what they call massacre drills. And I guess this sort of thing has parallels in real life nowadays. My kids are no longer young, so I haven't experienced this even vicariously. But this is sort of a morbid element, but it's sort of almost played for laughs in the film, and that's sort of peculiar. There's other things that happen, and this has been commented on before me, something that's caught the eye of the film critic world. Just strange things happened. I already mentioned that the aunt, Hildy, who is looking after Johnny, is an eccentric and peculiar woman, but at one point when she has to punish Johnny, she makes her eat a lipstick. Now, why would she do that? Well, okay, Johnny is being punished for stealing things, and the lipstick is one of the things that she stole. But what an odd thing that is, to make you eat one of the things that you stole. But it actually happens, and I guess it's sort of an eccentric kind of scene that gives the movie some of the interest that it has. So, as I think I've suggested, Perpetrator is an odd film. It's an eccentric film. Sometimes it's pretty horrific, and other times it just sort of is played for laughs and sort of eccentric and peculiar. If that's the sort of movie you like, you'll have a good time with Perpetrator. I had an uneven time with Perpetrator. I mentioned atmosphere when I was talking about our previous film today, and the best thing about Perpetrator is the atmosphere that it builds and sustains at various points along the way. It is just creepy in the best way. So I would say that Perpetrator is less effective as a story movie, less effective as a character movie, but sometimes very effective as an atmosphere movie. And so on that basis, I think horror fans will enjoy it. And our final movie today is a revival, and it is a movie from way, way back in 2003, 20 years ago, called Old Boy. And it is a Korean movie by the very major Korean director, Park Chan-wook. It is a South Korean film, and it was remade, I should mention, in 2013 by Spike Lee. In my opinion, not one of Spike's better movies. And I can't imagine why Spike decided to remake this one, because I don't think it's that great. But Old Boy has a whole lot of fans, but I will be talking not about the Spike Lee movie today, but about the Park Chan-wook movie, which touched the whole thing off back in 2003. This is part of Park Chan-wook's Vengeance trilogy, which began with Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance in 2002 and ended with Lady Vengeance in 2005. Old Boy is the middle film, made again in 2003, and oh yes, it is very, very much a vengeance movie. So here is what Old Boy is about. Our main character is kidnapped. His name is Dae-soo Oh. He is played by Choi Min-sik, and he is kidnapped and imprisoned. And he is not imprisoned for a few days or a few weeks or a few months or even a few years. He is imprisoned in this apartment, sort of, for 15 years. Think about that. 15 years with absolutely no human contact. What happens is that every once in a while music plays, and then gas comes in through some vents. There's no way he can stop that. And he is sedated and falls asleep. And while he is asleep, mysterious, unseen people come in and clean the place up and fix things up and put things back in order, because he often messes things up. Obviously, he's going berserk over these 15 years. And then he comes out of his sedation and resumes his horrifying life as being a captive in this little apartment. And so this goes on and on and on and on and on. And eventually, fairly early in the film, he is released from his captivity. That, too, is sort of mysterious why this happened. And he then finds out that he has just a very, very limited time. We go from a long time to a limited time to find out who did this and somehow wreak his revenge, or else his girlfriend, his new girlfriend, will be killed. So that is the challenge that he faces, and that is why this is part of the Vengeance trilogy. So it's an interesting premise. It's an extreme movie in all sorts of ways. The idea of holding somebody captive in a little, it's not a dungeon, and it's really an apartment, but it's very small, for 15 years. It's just an extreme idea for a movie. And a lot of things about this movie are extreme. And I want to mention two things in the movie that will just give people an idea of what they'll be in for if they haven't already seen the film. One is a very interesting fight that takes place in a corridor, and it involves a whole lot of people against our main character. And it's very beautifully choreographed and photographed in one long take with the camera sort of moving back and forth. If you look at it closely, it's sort of implausible as to how our main character can beat off all these assailants at the same time. But it's an elegant looking film, scene. It's the kind of thing that makes you understood why Park Chan-wook is an important filmmaker. The other scene, and I'll just mention this briefly, is when our main character, Dai-soo Oh, is first released from his captivity, one of the things that he does is go to a restaurant. A restaurant theme emerges in this film, by the way, interestingly so. But he decides he wants to have an octopus, which he eats while it's still alive. And this is, as near as I can tell, not a faked thing. And it's really hard to look at. And one of the reasons why it's hard to look at is that it's filmed in extreme close-up. A big problem with Old Boy, in my opinion, is that it's full of extreme close-ups. It's always pushing things in your face. It's the opposite of a subtle movie. So if you don't want to see that octopus scene, and by the way, this is something people really do in Japan. When I taught at Columbia University, I had a Japanese student who said he had eaten that delicacy. But it's not very pleasant to look at on the screen, especially not in extreme close-up. Old Boy is a popular film. It is one of the most respected South Korean films of recent years, or not even recent years, but of this century, and a lot of people really respect it and love it. I don't, but that's just my opinion. If you're into Asian cinema, if you're into Park Chan-wook, here's your chance to see Old Boy, which is being revived. Not a great film, but in its own way, a strangely interesting one. And that is my, I hope, strangely interesting story this week.
For which we thank you, as always and ever, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, The Films, Madeline Collins, Perpetrator, and Old Boy.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.